Hey, podcast listeners, would you like to support the 4AM podcast in their podcast endeavors? Well, we have great news for you. We have just opened our merchandise store on Teespring. You can find us on Teespring at 4AM Podcast or go through our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com.
Get some swag.
Get some cool swag. We got lots of merch there. We got t-shirts, we got hoodies, we got mugs, we got stickers, all kinds of cool stuff featuring inside jokes from our podcast and our podcast logo. And the best thing is, all of those proceeds help to support yours truly, the 4AM podcast.
Yeah.
And right now through January 1st, if you go to our store and buy some merch, either a shirt or hoodie or whatever, you can take a picture of yourself wearing your shirt and send it to us, and we'll make that count as a sponsored episode. You can tell us what episode you want to sponsor, and we'll put your episode on the sponsor list. For everybody else, if for whatever reason you don't want to buy any merchandise, but would still like to sponsor an episode, that means you tell us what we're going to watch. It's just $20 donated to our PayPal address, which you can find on our website. Again, that's 4ampodcast.podbean.com. Thanks for listening, guys, and enjoy the episode.
The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Your discretion is advised.
Hey, Brian, what happened to Sully?
I let him go.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Donnie, Brian, Robert, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the 4AM podcast, where me and a couple of my friends get together and watch movies from our past and see if it holds up to what we thought of it back then. I am your host, as always, General Anthony. Joined with me today is...
Joe Matrix.
Captain Cox.
I got nothing. I'm wrong.
They robbed the red shirt. Tonight we will be reviewing the masterpiece known as Commando from 1985. So what is your history with this movie, Rob?
I don't really remember seeing this movie when I was younger. I'm sure I probably did, but I really remember it. Like, I watched it maybe a year ago, and it was pretty awesome.
Brian?
I remember sitting in my parents' living room in the late 80s in front of our Sony TV within the wood case with the big giant speakers on it, on my laying on my stomach with my hands on my face of my hands, watching Schwarzenegger blow up stuff, and it was like, this is amazing. I remember that, like, I'm watching see where he's blowing up the island. I'm like, this is amazing. As a kid, I'm like, this is amazing.
The sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Same here. I don't quite remember when the first time I saw it, but I know it was amazing, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. And yeah, I own a copy and watch it from time to time. Joe.
I fucking love this movie. Okay, those who know me know I like all things military and, you know, big guns and shit blowing up, and it's because of movies like this when I was a kid. Holy crap. I do remember, very similar to Brian, just sitting in front of the TV, like, way too close with what passes as a boner for a seven-year-old, watching Arnold go on a fucking rampage and just murder everything, the entire population of an island. Oh, and I just rewind it on the VCR and watch it again.
What exactly passes as a boner for a seven-year-old, Joe?
Oh, let's not go there.
Let's not explore that.
So this was directed by Mark L. Lester, who also was the director behind Firestarter and a few other lesser-known things, and apparently like a whole lot of made-for-sci-fi movies later on. What did you think of his work? Obviously, you...
As the directing, you mean?
Yeah.
Looks like an 80s movie.
Totally 80s movie. Absolutely.
I don't think he set his ambitions very high with this film. He kept it, you know, very simple, very by the book. But that's kind of the beauty of the film. Like, it's just a guy going on a rampage. And it didn't really need to be anything else. So I think he did a decent enough job with it. The movie, I think it's well shot and everything and well put together for the most part.
He shouldn't be directing porn, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know how to do that.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Or maybe he knows how to do... Yeah. Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but maybe he knows...
You don't know what he's into.
Something that he shouldn't know.
So Commando is rated a 69% by the critics and a 67% by the audiences.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. It's right on the cusp. Pretty good.
If you are not a fan of action movies, there's not much in this movie for you. And it's, even if you are a fan of action movies, it is pretty dumb. But it's the greatest action movie.
It's amazing.
I have to posit this. Do you think the critics intentionally rated it just to get that 69?
If it was audiences, I'd say yes. But as critics, I
thought. Well, the audiences are so much like wider scope. You know, you're always going to have a couple of jerks in there. Don't want to ruin it for everyone else.
True, but my point is I would hope the critics have a bit more professionalism than to try.
No! Please, for this movie.
The budget for this movie was $10 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it would be more.
Does anyone want to guess how much this movie made?
80s money? I'm guessing like $18 million. I don't know. It's 80s money. I don't know.
Yeah. It didn't have a sequel.
Yeah, I'd say like 40 or 50 million, but let's go 45 million.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my guess, was like 40, 45 million.
Yeah, but Price is Right rules, Brian wins. It was actually $35 million.
Mm. Okay.
So it made some good money. Certainly did well. Not enough, I guess, to get that sequel, but that could also be because Arnold moved on to bigger and
questionably
better things. Yeah.
Everything else in the world.
God knows he can get Bill Paxton back then.
You could make a movie pretty cheap in the 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, $10 million. Like,
well, I'm guessing almost all of that went to blowing up that entire island.
That's what I'm saying, but yeah, I mean.
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, why they couldn't afford the blood squibs.
Yeah.
Use that horrible red
paint. Post-production to edit out all the ropes and pistons and rams that are throwing people.
Shoestring budget. Mm. They used it well, though.
All right, so we want to go over the cast of characters?
Sure. All right, so of course Arnold Schwarzenegger plays John Matrix.
Yeah,
welcome to the show, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I think the only movie I've ever seen Ray Dawn Chong in, she played Cindy the stewardess, basically just girl Chris Tucker.
Wow.
So where does that leave Chris Tucker?
Development.
The great Dan Hedaya as Arius, the bad guy. I don't think they ever say his name. Vernon Wells as one of my favorite villains of all time, Bennett.
He was amazing.
The best worst villain ever. Very young Alyssa Milano as Jenny Matrix. Bill Duke as Cook.
Bill Duke.
Yeah, so the movie starts out on Garbage Day.
Was that the garbage day alarm?
It sure was. And it warns you that badness is coming. This man is woken up and goes outside to catch the garbage truck, which is oddly out on a Tuesday, and is immediately shot.
Yeah, I gotta say, I defend this movie a lot, but the opening to this movie does not make a lot of sense. Just, man takes trash out, gets gunned down.
My only notes in this movie are about the opening. Because before the credits start, we have murder from machine gun fire.
Most foul.
We have car theft. We have vehicular manslaughter. We have explosions. Then we finally get Arnold with adorable Alyssa Milano, and they're eating ice cream. Then credits.
So, don't forget, we get one-liners.
Oh, one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
Then credits start. Like,
yeah, because Cook goes on a mini-rampage. Like, and he kills a good two or three people and has quite a few things to say about it.
Blows up a boat.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Bill Duke is a troublemaker in this movie.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite part about this car is? Price. yeah, he starts murders, and one of my notes is this guy is one menacing-looking motherfucker.
He is.
Like, everything he's been in, when he wants to be creepy, he's super creepy, and when he doesn't want to be creepy, he's still a little creepy. He's just got this such a cold manner about him. Like, I would not want to mess with him.
He's a big dude. I think almost my height.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was... Not quite Arnold size, but he was up there. He was close.
He was taller than Arnold was.
Yeah. I'd more believe him taking on Arnold in a fist fight than fucking Bennett.
Yes. But so after he kills the trash man, he steals the car, runs over another dude, and then he takes out Shipwreck as he's getting on a boat. Just blows that up, but I guess that was all a ruse, as we'll find out later.
Yeah, and there's no explanation for why he's doing this. It's just man killing people.
Yep, no.
He's going on a slaughter.
Weren't they supposed to be Arnold's former crew?
Well, you find out later.
Yeah, you find out that after the credits.
That it just cuts to, like, wholesome family time with giant-ass Arnold Schwarzenegger. No,
it cuts to Lumberjacks.
Yes. Yeah, Lumberjacks.
So what do you guys think about Arnold's glistening manly biceps?
Carrying a tree down the
woods. It wasn't a tire tree, too. It was
a massive-ass chainsaw.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't even use the chainsaw. Like, he just pulled the tree out of the ground and carried it down like a bumble and just chopped it up.
Well, I mean, it's just to remind you that Arnold Schwarzenegger is indeed a big dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, he starts cutting up this wood, and somebody starts creeping up behind him. And it turns out to be Alyssa Milano when suddenly it cuts to, I'm hearing the Full House credit theme going because it's...
Family montage.
Yeah, it's a wholesome family montage.
Well, here's the thing though. It's not the Full House theme. Can we talk about the music in this movie?
The best part of the movie?
Please do.
It's the music is done by James Horner, but it sounds like a cat on the piano.
It's seriously, I mentioned it's kind of like band practice where there's like several different people on different instruments and they're all playing them competently, but they don't mesh well at all.
I'm convinced this music is the same music they play for every 80s action movie for the entire 80s mission of one. If I get it from this one song, they pull the parts out.
Just layered it over each other.
Delta Force, Kickboxer, all of them. Like,
all his future jobs, he just said, well, I have this one. If I just remove this stuff.
Yeah, take these parts out. Take these layers out. Oh, there you go. That's for you. Like, all of them.
Yeah, like they just took all those other tracks and just layered them on.
American Ninja, crappy action 80s movie.
I should also point out this music starts somewhere just after the first death, I believe, and does not end until the end of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, almost, it's the same song pretty much the entire way.
Yep.
Yeah, and it never fits. It never fits anything that's happening. Maybe at the very end when he gets in the plane, and it's... But that's a different song.
It's a different song.
But the song that's playing this whole damn movie, it just keeps adding more shit on top of it. Like, more instruments jump in, and it never fits what's going on.
So, like, that it went from... Arnold the Chainsaw almost seemed like a horror movie. I was expecting to see this was produced by the WWE or something. Then it gets to the super wholesome family portion of it, where the music gets a lot lighter and everything, and even feeding a goddamn deer just to show you how wholesome they truly are. But then the terrible "someone's stalking you" music kicks back in as they do fishing from a tiny, tiny pond.
Yeah,
I mean, you would think the fish was after them or something, though. Boy, that kicked back in.
Yeah. The biggest unanswered question of this movie. They're sitting there at a table eating sandwiches. At which point, Arnold asks Alyssa Milano, "What's in this sandwich?" She's like, "You don't want to know." Well, I want to know what was in this sandwich.
He has to put down her copy of Cream magazine.
C-R-E-E-M.
C-R-E-E-M magazine.
He's reading about Boy George and making terrible comments. So suddenly, you know, his spider sense starts tingling, and a helicopter is headed towards the house. And literally headed right towards the house. I honestly thought they were going to crash through the window at one point.
They do buzz the tower, for sure.
But,
yeah, I forgot who said it, but I believe we did yell, "Was Maverick flying that?" If the bald guy drinking his coffee was there, he would have spilled it on himself.
So once the general parks this helicopter on the front porch, he gets out, and he goes looking for Maverick, who sneaks up behind him, grabs his gun. The general says, "Silent and smooth, just like always."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Arnold, you caught me.
Arnold's name in this is John Matrix, by the way.
Whoa.
John.
Yeah, I'm just going to get to that.
John Matrix.
He's a wholesome family American.
Yeah, but the general tells him that his people are being killed.
Yeah, apparently that opening montage, as we said, was Duke taking everybody out from Arnold's old unit, because word got out after their last job, whatever the heck that was.
They don't go into it.
I wouldn't mind a prequel to this, I have to say. find out what the hell was going on beforehand.
There, well, the prequel actually lasted for several seasons. I think it was called The A-Team.
He tells John, you know, I want your help. But John says, no, I'm, you know, I have a daughter now. I have a life. I'm trying to live like a normal person. So he says, all right, I'll investigate this. I'll take this, find out who this is, take them out. But I'm leaving some guards with you. They'll help keep you safe. To which John asks if they're good. He says, not as good as you, but they're really good. And not 5 seconds later, they are.
It was 10 seconds. They were not that good.
I was called out on that one. 10 seconds later, shot down.
They might as well just have red camouflage. I mean, they were the proverbial red shirts.
Not only that, but, like, seriously, did these guys ride with the general to get there?
They were following the helicopter in, but they literally were there to shoot down.
He was on the bottom of the landing gear.
It must have been the whole squad of them.
He did that move that Arnold does later in the movie to get off the plane. Yeah.
Maybe I'm looking into this too much, but, like, the helicopter shows up, right? Mm-hmm. It takes off, not 10 seconds after they take off, a guy pops out with a machine gun and starts shooting. They had trucks with them.
Yep.
They kidnapped his daughter in, and no one fucking noticed the trucks pulling up.
They said they needed the general to reveal Arnold's position. I guess they were pretty damn close. I don't know, maybe they could try the one house in that entire valley.
But they... I guess the general says when Arnold snuck up on him that he's getting a little old and getting a little rusty, but, like, so bad that he missed a couple trucks and everything following after them.
I think what actually happened is they just slipped the editor a 20 and just, you know, got jump cut there, because I have no idea otherwise how they got there so damn fast.
Well, and they also had time to cut Arnold's brakes on his car, right? Mm-hmm. And, like,
not only cut his brakes, it looked like they removed the engine.
Yeah, well, at least, like, the spark plugs or something, because it wasn't running.
Yeah.
He had to push it down a hill.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are.
Well, we are, yeah. Okay. When they first show up, Arnold, you know, he senses danger because he could smell them coming.
He did smell them.
He smelled what the Rock was cooking. So he grabs Liz Milano, throws her into the house on the floor, where one of the guards falls after him, bleeding profusely. So he's like, I gotta put a plan into action. He tells Liz Milano to go upstairs and hide under the bed and that she will be taken. And he goes out back to his tool shed where he has a secret lever, whatever, that leads to a giant gun case.
Bunker.
Yeah. That's the question of why didn't he put Alyssa Milano in there?
It doesn't look like a full bunker, though. It looks like just a tiny... It looks like a second shed.
Yeah, just for guns. Guns.
Yeah.
Well, the bigger question, why wouldn't you have something like that in your house? Like a safe room?
Oh, maybe he doesn't want Alyssa Milano to find it. Mm-hmm. But finding the tool shed, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess doesn't want her to be that safe if someone shows up, because... Yeah. Of course, the guy comes in and immediately grabs her off screen, murders this other guard that was bleeding but still alive, and props him against the door, waiting for Arnold to show back up.
And grabs the I Love You Dad Valentine off the refrigerator.
Yeah, but this sets up why I love this movie so much. Because literally, the guy's like, we have your daughter, and you gotta do everything I say, or otherwise we're gonna kill you. And Arnold's like, nope. And he just shoots him in the head. And that sets the stage for the whole rest of the movie.
I believe the exchange is as simple as he just goes, right? And Arnold goes, wrong.
Shoots him in the head. Like,
the beginning of the amazing one-liners.
Oh, it's just so amazing.
Yeah, and from there on out, it's just madness. At this point, Arnold gets the truck, pushes it over the cliff to chase after them, which... I don't know what his plan was here.
I don't know what his trajectory was.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one didn't make a lot of sense.
He whizzes past them at one point, and I guess they loop back around because he gets ahead of them.
They established that he has no brakes, so he's just barreling down a hill.
Yes.
And I guess they were like, well, let's just speed up so he can get another pass at us.
I guess. But how windy was this road that they kept just coming back to where he was going in this one direction?
Maybe it was like a pyramid, but it was going around the mountain.
Yeah, but still,
I don't know.
How quickly were they going?
He's going in a straight line.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Made no sense.
Mach 6.
But not only that, as I pointed out earlier, what was the plan in the end? To just slam into the truck your daughter's in and hope she's okay?
That's what the movie
Car crashes don't really do much of anything in this.
We'll find out later.
Car crashes aren't a problem.
She's got my blood. She'll be fine.
But then he fucks it up and he just falls in a ditch.
Yep. And they just stop and get out, point guns at him, and he takes a few of them out, which was pretty awesome. But also, thankfully, they get the better of him and actually, you know, get him to stand down.
But again, because, again, how awesome the movie is, he's surrounded, they have rifles and guns pointed at him, he wastes no time, just grabs one and starts killing them. Like, immediately, I'm scared. He's like, nope, I got this. Starts right into it.
But again, as I questioned many times with this, I don't know why the others didn't just open fire, but
were trying to get him to, you know, to come along.
They needed him, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
Quote, unquote, needed him, so.
Yeah, but either way, unlike Equilibrium, he wasn't able to just beat the shit out of all of them. One of them gets him into a chokehold, and that's when we get our first appearance from Freddie Mercury on steroids-ish.
No.
Earth hormones, at least, maybe?
Freddie Mercury with an estrogen shot?
I'd say that's probably...
Let himself go a little bit. Yeah, like, I mean, he was in way better shape than this guy was.
Bennett had some muscle, but he had some flab.
His arms had, like, the same definition as mine. It's not... Mm. It was not good.
I'm more just referring to he's, like, at least twice as thick as Freddie Mercury was.
He was a big guy.
Yeah. I think he's probably the operative word here. Well,
I mean, he looks like Freddie Mercury. I like to describe him as like a mix between a Wallace and Gromit character and Jack Palance. But, I mean, Freddie Mercury works too.
Either way, he looks like the kind of person that should not be entertaining thoughts of getting into a fist fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. He had the, like... He was wearing, like, the medieval times equivalent of a muumuu. Like, this chainmail blouse. This entire movie. And sleeveless.
Literally the entire movie, yeah.
And a dog collar with his dog tags on it.
Yeah.
He was straight up a cartoon. He was totally an outlier in this movie. I kept thinking, like, are you in the right movie? Did you show up to the right film?
But they get Arnold back to the headquarters?
Yeah, wherever they were held
evil
up.
Warehouse.
Evil warehouse.
Yeah, I think they shoot him with a tranquilizer.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he comes to, they, you know, he sees that this other guy's there.
Dan Hedaya.
Whoever he played, but basically, and his butt chin. He's someone that Arnold had screwed over in the past, took down his dictatorship, I guess, or whatever he was doing there. And so now he wants revenge, he wants Arnold's help in getting it, and he's now kidnapped his daughter and he's forcing him to help him out.
Are you trying to force a butt into your chin, bro?
I'm trying to figure it out. Leave me alone.
I'm afraid I can't.
Yeah, no. You've occupied all our attention.
I mean, yeah, if you fail at that, you fail at that. But if you succeed at that, you fail at that. Like a course of action there. Butt chin.
Yeah.
Butt chin.
So yeah, this plan has some problems. They want him to go off and assassinate this other guy.
Some president.
Because the president trusts him. It means Valverde, I think, is the country.
Sure. And President Velasquez.
And his plan is like, I'm just gonna send a guy to escort you to the airport and one guy just to be on a plane with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he had some people to pick him up at the airport or whatever, but I don't know. It seems like he probably could have killed this president in an easier way than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, like, this seems like a whole lot of hoops to jump through just to kill, you know, this one guy.
And boy, does it spectacularly backfire.
You would think with all this, he could just get one person to somehow get a
Freddie
job.
Freddie Mercury! Freddie Mercury do it.
Yeah.
Well, they did say that the president wouldn't let him near him, but it's like, if he's as good as they say he's supposed to be, he could just go all commando on him like Arnold did.
But he's also got an island full of guys. Just have one of them get like some janitorial job or something for the president. He can leave a door open. Freddie Mercury sneaks in at night.
But Arnold's character saved the president.
Can't hit a damn thing.
He saved that president.
Yeah.
And so the president trusts him with his life because he saved him. So that's why he was so integral to the plan. because of Arnold.
I understand all that, and it makes perfect sense. If Arnold's willing to help, clearly he's not.
That's why he took his daughter, so they could make him help. Come on, man. That's how...
How well did that work out for them?
It was a solid idea for an evil villain to have, all right?
You're not supposed to work that. That's it, exactly. It was a solid evil villain plan.
Yeah, that's fair. So yeah, we get to see his little rogues gallery that is helping out with this. We have our thick Freddie Mercury. You have whatever that...
Let's just call him Chubby Mercury.
Chubby Mercury. We also have Warrior's Puppet, I guess.
Yeah, that little twerp.
I don't know whoever that guy was. And
but you have
leftover from some Black Dynamite movie.
Yeah, I don't know what
he was doing.
He was looking for like a black exploitation film or
he
something.
He seriously was.
And then Bill Duke.
The most threatening of them all. But so they convince him to go along with this plan. The two guys, the midget and the black exploitation dude, take him to the airport. Where I guess the midget amuses Arnold with some terrible lines. To Arnold responds by, "I really like you. I'm going to kill you last." And this is why I love this movie.
Right off the bat, these lines are. There are some good ones in there.
Oh yeah, they're terrible, but they make no apologies for it. They're just like, "This is what's happening. Just get on board, or get leave the theater." But
and that is the difference with. Why I can appreciate a movie like this, but will hate a movie like Equilibrium, is this movie just doesn't, it knows it's being stupid, and it doesn't care. It just, rolls with it.
Wait,
we're going to get on a rant, because like an Equilibrium, man. That damn movie.
Not to harsh on it, but the point is, this movie knows what it is, and it's just doing that. It's an action movie. Much like with Taken, it sets up a basic premise and then just action, people dying, cool things happening, stuff exploding, no explanations needed. And that's what you need for an action movie.
Does John even like Fernando? We should find this out.
We should find this out.
Probably not.
Are you kidding me? The guy in the chainmail vest dies? Yeah. Of course he doesn't.
Yeah.
That chainmail would protect him from that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We do get an "I'll be back" in this movie.
Yeah. His first "I'll be back."
Was this pre?
No, this was after Terminator.
Oh, was after that?
Oh, this is definitely.
Oh, yeah. That was the first.
It's 85. It's 85. That's right. It's 85. So,
which was responded with, "John, I'll be ready, John." John.
The least intimidating
weird point. New Zealand accent he had going on.
Yeah, it sounded more like a, your mother will have some mittens ready for you.
All right, one more quick tangent here. this Dan Hedaya's little rogue gallery here versus the goons from the He-Man movie.
Oh, man.
Who would you take?
Well, I think my money's on Bill Duke killing all of them.
Bill Duke, yeah. If you took out one of them and took out Bill Duke, it would be kind of a battle.
Yeah.
But Bill Duke would just fuck them all up.
Like, I'd be Bill Duke just wins hands.
He'd be like, "I can't move in my costume."
Evelyn's like, "I probably could, do something, but my pelvis is in thousands of pieces right now."
Guys, let's just run over this way. If they try and chase us after us, the costumes will kill them.
Bill would be like, "I know, I did it to you last night." That's
that would be the only play, is like sacrificing her to him. Maybe she'll keep him busy.
I can see that working.
Wow. Okay. Moving on.
It makes sense, because dude, the Predator, he was a Predator as well.
Yeah.
He took on Predator, and he got killed. But
he didn't really take on Predator.
He killed a bunch of guys in the beginning, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, around this point...
Is Predator on a list? It should be.
It is, a matter of fact.
But at this point, we also get another one of the lines that I just adored from this movie, which is the general shows back up at Matrix house, and he finds the bodies, and they say that we can't find Matrix, but we did find all these other bodies. And he says, "Do you think there will be more?" To which the general responds, "If he's still alive, expect a lot more bodies." That's just badass.
This is a very common character in, 80s movies at this time, especially, Rambo. There was just that general guy that trained him that was just, yeah, this guy's going to kill a lot of people. That's basically all he's there to do.
Yeah. I trained him too well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're on the plane. Speaking of He-Man, Teela shows up as a stewardess briefly. She sets Arnold up with a seat. Arnold asks for a pillow and a blanket. And then just elbows this dude to the face. Snaps his neck, to which his hands flail up comically. And throws the pillow behind him, blanket over him, and tells everyone to leave him alone because he is, quote, dead tired.
Yep.
Nobody notices that.
Yeah, no one pays attention.
That is the end of Blackula.
So silent, so smooth.
So Arnold excuses himself to the bathroom.
Yes.
And
for being airsick, despite the fact they hadn't left the ground.
Sneaks onto the cargo elevator on the plane, which is right, which is A, open, and B, right next to the bathroom door.
Apparently.
I don't even think it was next to the bathroom door. I think he just went there and
got
on anyway.
I think the secret to his stealth is that a lot of people just don't want to be the person to tell him no.
That's true.
Like, I didn't see that. Yep. I'm not the first person to find him doing that.
I think, yeah, it's almost like obfuscation where he just looks everyone in the eyes so they feel they should look away and does whatever he wants.
Captain, there is a 10-foot monster speaking broken English, and he's making his way to the cargo elevator. Yeah.
Well, if there's any luck, he'll just jump out the landing gear.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, yeah, Arnold makes his way smashing and crashing through this plane till he gets to the landing gear, ripping through a wall like he was Wolverine, and then just jumps out.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he... Okay. So he waits until the plane is off the runway in the air over some wetlands before he jumps out. Even though when he first got out, it was like still on the tarmac. He could have just like hopped off, did the little tuck and roll.
Yeah, it's arguable how quick it was going at that point. Maybe that would have been the better option. Certainly once it was off the ground, like they had to be going way too fast.
But he had a lot
high up.
Yeah.
He had a lot of faith in there being like soft ground underneath him, like water.
Speaking of though, water I might see. But this wasn't just water. This was wetlands. And he fell directly into some reeds.
Yeah, he missed the water.
Oh, yeah.
And as someone who, as a child, like played in some swamp areas where we had relatives that had some.
Do not bring your evil here.
I've fallen on some reeds, and that shit hurts. That would have impaled him.
Well, luckily, he only just jumped off a platform a few feet above the camera. But yeah, that barely breaks his stride. He just starts doing some parkour in the airport to go chase down Sully.
For real, for real.
Someone drives by on a stair, and of course you'll get hop-ons, so Arnold jumps on there, gets back to the airport, and he sees our little puppet friend stalking a stewardess who he's trying to mac on.
Like, super creepy stalking, too.
Yeah, he's getting all up in Radon Chong's grill there.
Most things this guy does is super creepy.
True. This is true.
Like, if he were, like, a foot taller, he would be, like, legit, like, scary man.
If he were a foot taller, he would have been 4 feet tall.
Yeah, okay, if he was 2 feet tall.
But, yeah, not only does he not take no means no as an answer, he continues to just follow her straight out through the airport, through the parking garage. Like, and I don't know what he thought was going to happen here. She clearly had no interest until finally she's just like, will you please leave? And at which point he calls her a whore and leaves.
Yeah, like that was going to change your mind.
So bizarre.
Well, in the terminal, she told him that he was creeping her out and needs to leave.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I can salvage this.
Yeah, like, he followed her from like not... He felt like 15 feet away. Like,
yeah,
obviously super close. Like, I see you behind me, dude.
This started because she was on the phone with what appeared to be her boyfriend. Or sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone she was dating. She was saying, you know, oh, I'm sorry you can't make it. I'll see you later. I really like you too. Like, this is obviously someone she's interested in. Like,
it was her cat.
They just
she just calls him these messages.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for that part, I thought it was she saw him creepily waiting for her and was like, let me make it sound like I have a boyfriend so this guy gets the picture that I don't want to talk to him.
Oh, man,
and
it costs 25 cents. You're not
no, she was already on the phone. I thought like her call probably ended already. And it's like, before hanging up, let me make sure this guy knows that I'm not interested.
No, yeah, I hear you, and that's entirely possible. But the point is, that's a clear sign to this guy to stop. But no, he keeps going until she says please. But anyway, finally she gets him to leave, and she's safe from the creeper when suddenly Arnold pops up and grabs her and kidnaps her.
The next level creeper movie.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Like, for real.
So he forces her into the car, rips the seat out of her passenger side car, and just gets in there for some reason and makes her follow this guy.
Yeah.
Why did he rip the seat out?
I don't
know. So he could fit.
It's like freaking Hightower now. It's
10 feet of Austrian. You got to fit in that little... Like,
it still didn't really seem to work much.
Well, it was a convertible, so he had to get down low enough that his big, giant, you know, flat top wasn't sticking up over the top of the windshield. Yeah.
He does have a huge head. But, I mean, two or three scenes later, I think the seat's just back.
No, it's not back. He's sitting up higher. Mm-hmm. They probably, like, you know, gave him something to sit on in the...
Yeah. At this point, I noted that the theme song was still going.
It never stopped.
Yeah, some more instruments showed up. Entire thing.
So we get some mall madness.
Yeah, so they follow the guy out to the mall. Apparently he has some kind of drug deal or God knows what he was doing. He got some
passports.
Yeah.
Oh, it was passports, correct. He's making a little deal. Arnold just now decides to tell her why he's doing all this. I don't know why he didn't say any of that on the car ride over.
He was too busy giving little one-liners. And she was like, he wants to kill you? I just mentioned I wanted to kill you too. Like, it's just dumbass shit in the car.
They were vamping too much. Couldn't explain his deal. But so he tries desperately to get her to help him out with this. She goes in pretending she's going to lure the guy out, but instead tells the security guards that this big, creepy, paranoid dude is after them. He tries to hide behind a pole.
Yeah, he really fails at sneaking around.
Yeah, so bad.
Like, he could have just leaned against the pole and, like, casually looked around every once in a while, but no, he's, like, doing everything he can to look like a guy creeping.
And again... To point this out, this is a guy who snuck up on the general and was able to disarm him and aim his own gun at the back of his head. A general who supposedly was so well trained that he trained this guy how to do that in the first place, and yet he can't outwit the security and not looking like a giant creeper hiding poorly behind a giant pole.
Well, maybe we're looking at this wrong. Maybe he's like a Sasquatch and needs the comfort of the woods and wilderness in order to blend in. He can't,
that makes sense.
Yeah. He can't blend in modern society.
That makes sense.
Because he's actually Bigfoot.
Okay,
I think John Matrix really just doesn't know how to interact with modern society.
That is a good point.
Be it.
So now the security starts to descend upon John.
You want to see me kick some ass?
Which I felt really encompasses mall security. The guy was trying to talk to two girls as it was. And he's like, you want him to kick some ass? Like, trying to show off these two girls.
It's like Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
Famous last words if there ever were some.
But also, like, when he finally sees John, he calls him back up as well because this guy is, quote, one big motherfucker. Of course, with his backup comes... I can only imagine every police officer in the tri-state area.
Like 30 mall cops.
Yeah, was it police though, or was it mall security?
I think just mall security. Yeah. That's not very clear, but I've never seen that many security guards in any mall.
Because there was only one cop that was there, and because the cop was going to shoot at Arnold when was her name in the movie anyway? I forgot her name.
Cindy, I think.
Cindy realized that, like, oh, maybe. Maybe this guy John was telling the truth about this guy kidnapping his daughter.
No!
And I should maybe try to help him for real and stop the cops who I just called on him. So she shoves the cop down the stairs.
Down the stairs.
Like, down the fucking stairs.
And then a surprise when that guy's pissed at her and wants to have a chat.
Like, what are you doing?
I do love the 80s touch of, like, this whole thing could have been thwarted by cell phones.
Yeah.
But Sully, he had to actually go use a payphone, so he stole a quarter.
Yeah, first he attacks Cindy to steal a quarter so he can get into this phone booth, fires off one shot, and do we figure out why he didn't shoot again?
Yes, because
he fired several times.
He could barely stand upright when this thing. Because Arnold. Okay, so he's inside the phone booth.
Arnold, this phone booth, by the way, is like a frozen chamber from like the Alien films.
Yeah, it's like a little tube, and Arnold just picks the whole thing up and starts shaking it.
And this goes full Donkey Kong. You're not going to be able to.
You can't fire.
This guy's basically a vibrator.
Yeah, like you cannot. Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Arnold is the size of the entire front of the tube. Like, there's literally just no way you could miss. But Sully finds a way.
Well, it's not even a matter of missing. Like, his hand was up in the air. Like, he was trying to keep his balance inside this thing.
And Arnold freaking just suplexes the phone.
The whole thing up. Over his shoulders.
I like how the mall cops are like, yeah, all right, we'll fight this guy. Sure.
Yeah, you think at that point they'd start questioning things and, yeah, maybe using more force with, like, guns or tasers or pepper spray, something. But, no, he takes them all on. He does a full-on Superman move where everybody jumps on top of him and he just throws them all off. Chases after the guy out into the parking lot, steals Cindy's car. She runs out after him and, for some reason I couldn't tell you, gets back into the car.
Oh, yeah, I don't get
that. Oh, he gets hit by a car, too.
Yeah.
Sully hits him with the car.
He gets hit by Sully as he's
He brushed that shit off, like, whatever.
Yeah, cars, other than that one guy that gets killed in the beginning by a car, cars are, like, the least effective thing in this movie. Because, yeah, he takes that hit, like, whatever. He just gets back up, like the friggin' Terminator.
Yep.
Well, to be fair, that Porsche probably weighed less than he does.
Yeah, and there was, like, a 90-pound Sully at the wheel.
This is what I don't get. So Arnold's job gets into her car, starts driving, sees her side of the road, stops, and picks her up. Like, why the fuck are you picking her up? Just keep going. She proves herself useful later in the movie, like, for plot reasons, but still, like, in that exchange, why bother picking her up?
He's a hoarder. He never does anything.
Yeah, this is
except guns.
No, he keeps them all in his shed.
When he's using that, I'm done with this.
He goes back and picks him up after the fight.
Oh, yeah, like him after. No, this is the one bigger problem I did have with this movie, though, is just there's no, other than plot convenience, there's no reason for her to get back in that car, and there's no reason for him to stop to let her in that car.
Yeah.
It just makes absolutely no sense.
But this is the hallmark of a good, bad movie, because basically, at this point, you have a question, the writer, director, he's just like, come on. You're like, all right, whatever. That's fine.
Plot reasons. Yeah. Okay.
But, like, it doesn't just let it go. She then proceeds to bitch and moan about why he's doing all this, and so, will you at least explain it? And he says no. She just freaks out. That's it.
Yep.
That's all we get for an explanation. He goes chasing down the road after Sully. They get into a little car fight, knocking each other around.
Again, Sully can't hit a damn thing with his gun.
Nope. Well, here's the thing, though. Arnold is supposed to be, like, this, you know, world-class, like, secret, I don't know, not secret agent, but, like, Bigfoot agent. But, like,
tactical Sasquatch.
Yeah, tactical Sasquatch.
Trademarked.
Sasquatch. But
let's get to work, guys.
Chewbacca.
I want to
go tactical Sasquatch.
Right after my Raphael shirt. But dude doesn't know how to do a pit maneuver, like a basic pit maneuver.
Yeah.
Like, he's slamming, like, the side of his car into the side of Sully's car, and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, he just does kind of aggressively rub them.
Yeah, aggressive rubbing. Yeah. That's what's going on.
I could argue that...
Haven't you ever seen Days of Thunder, guys? Rubbing's part of racing.
Oh man.
I could argue that this is him now trying to get Cindy out of the car. Because if this guy wasn't a terrible shot, he would have murdered her. Like, shot her 100 times.
For real.
And if you needed more evidence to show that car crashes don't mean a damn thing in this movie.
Yeah.
The next scene.
Yeah, he doesn't need to try and kill her any more than he's about to do now. Because whipping down the road, he finally gets Sully to kind of crash his car so he can no longer, you know, get away. And he just whips off the road into a telephone pole and just smashes the shit out of the car, and they get out like it's nothing.
Nothing.
No airbags, nothing. Not only are neither of them wearing a seatbelt, she, again, did not have a seat. She should have been thrown through that window, off the cliff, and down to her
death. Out of the movie.
Yeah.
Or over the windows. Well,
sure.
There's nothing holding her there.
But even Sully's fine. Like nobody's really all that bothered by this.
Yeah. Which is just ridiculous, but hey. So Sully gets out as well.
He's pulled out.
Yes. Well,
yeah, Sully. He's pulled out.
Removed from
it. He doesn't have that gun anymore somehow.
So John takes him over to a cliff and holds him by his bad arm.
5 feet away from where he crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind the car where Arnold just crashed, holds Sully out over a cliff by his upside down with his weak arm.
Yeah, one-handed holding this guy up.
Which probably, Sully's tiny and Schwarzenegger's huge. He probably was a real scene, no wires or anything, because that motherfucker's big.
Yeah, I mean, there was no cliff either.
So. Oh, yeah. You can tell it was a green screen or whatever.
It was a doll.
Yeah. Yes. Sully's, you know, pleading with him and says, you know, I don't know where they are, but I can, you know, I can get you there. You need me to show you where they are. He points out that he doesn't because he found a hotel key on him, so he knows where they're going. And then he says, hey, remember how I told you I was going to kill you last? I lied. And just drops him where we see a doll fall screaming to its death.
Awesome one liner.
Now Cindy says, well, now we don't have a car. What are we going to do?
Oh, you missed an important line. It's like, what happened to Sully?
That actually came next. But yeah. She asks, what happened to Sully? He says,
I let him go.
Again, not 5 feet from where they were, he threw this man off the cliff screaming to his death, and she has no idea what happened to him.
It was 10 feet from where she was standing. But how did you not see that?
Guys, she was in her trailer when they filmed that scene.
Turned on some music.
Or turned her phone on silent.
Phone is on silent. So where were you?
They go to the hotel.
All
right. Yeah, just flip Sully's Porsche over, which is fine, and just go to a hotel.
Yeah.
Drive off to this motel. They're waiting to meet up with Duke.
He's Duke Cookie now. Duke Cookie versus the Tactical Sasquatch.
Pat Bending. We really gotta work on that script, guys. But he shows up at the hotel. Arnold tricks him into the room. Once he gets past the door, taps on his shoulder and just clocks him in the face.
There's a fight ensues.
It's a cripple fight. They start beating the crap out of each other.
Bullets flying.
Yeah, he's firing wildly into different rooms, which does not seem to affect the other patrons at all.
Shitty neighborhood.
Yep.
He knocks the gun out of his hand. They start wrestling. He makes some comment about being a Green Beret. Arnold says that he eats Green Berets for breakfast, and he's starving.
I'm really hungry.
And he kicks the guy through the door into the next room, where we see...
The only titties in the movie.
But at least they were nice enough to put some in.
Yeah.
Yeah, where there really didn't need to be any.
A really questionable arrangement.
Yeah, wait. In this hotel room, this extra room, two men are being impaled.
No, it's more... No, it's more... I see what you did there.
Yeah, he kills Cookie by shoving him into a, I guess it's a broken piece of furniture or whatever it was. But when they get in there, there's a couple having sex. And
on camera.
Yeah, they're making a porno.
Yeah, there are lights and cameras in there.
And would you care to explain this, Rob?
No, actually. Weird.
It's simple. She was behind him.
She was behind him. Simple enough. That's all I know.
Use your imagination with what's going on. Boom. Yeah.
Not hard to explain. I just know how uncomfortable Rog was with the whole situation.
She had nice titties.
Also, I love the exchange when Duke gets the gun, points at him, and he's like, fuck you, asshole, pulls the trigger, that points out of bullets. Arnold's one retort, fuck you, asshole.
Punches him so hard.
That's so amazing. It's so amazing. Words do not do this justice. So then they start rifling through his crap. I guess she knows a lot about planes, so she figures out where they're going or where he's been at least. So they
had to make him useful in the movie somehow. Yeah, so they have skills that Arnold doesn't have.
They're well enough explained.
At this point, I think she just decides like she might as well help him out to make this go along faster. God knows what this guy's going to do.
Yeah, she's here at this point. Might as well.
So here's the funny thing. She really could not be in this movie, and it would not be any different.
Yeah, she doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, only thing...
She really doesn't do anything.
Only thing she does is fly a plane, which they can have Arnold just do, since he's a highly skilled military person.
And he starts it, but I mean, we'll get to that in a minute.
Her only purpose is to be a better explanation as to how this shit is figured out. Because they could just say Arnold knows this, and with how the rest of the movie's going, I don't think anyone would really question it. But, you know, she's a better explanation as, you know, someone who's a stewardess. She's trying to be a pilot. She knows, you know, longitude, latitude. She knows.
He could know all this stuff.
He could have
just followed Duke from the motel to the warehouse.
She's not a love interest.
First off, at this point, we get another exchange.
Smell popcorn?
I don't smell anything. This side of my nose is burned out.
We get another lovely exchange where she's asking Arnold really why he's doing this, and he says how he's doing it all for his daughter, and he cares about nothing else. To again, I wonder why she would not be like, please let me leave, because you are clearly have no interest in your safety or mine, so I want to go home now. But instead they go to the warehouse, where he first takes out a guard by just bashing his head against an anvil?
Yep.
I don't know what that was. That was brutal.
Wasn't that at the pier?
Yeah, the pier.
We skipped the whole factory scene.
Yeah.
There really wasn't much going on there.
Yeah, it really is kind
of
honestly,
I think in some cuts of the movie, I don't think the factory scene's even there.
No? It was there the whole times I watched it, but... Yeah. All they do is find the longitude and latitude of the island there.
They clearly establish this factory produces evil, because it's just oozing green
it's
gas.
Green smoke.
Right when they pull up.
That's really about it.
Yeah, this is straight out of the Joker's lair style stuff.
But it's still before the... Or is it?
Yeah.
It's still before the plane, because they have to go shopping.
So basically, they just find out here where they have to go, and then they're like, we gotta make a pit stop.
Yes. So Arnold finds a bulldozer that just, I guess, was somewhere around parked with keys in it or whatever.
He may have carried it there. I don't know.
It's entirely possible.
At this point, like, I would have accepted him just ripping that door off the hinges. Yeah. Like, who knows what John Matrix can do?
Yeah.
But instead, he smashes through the front window of this shop, busts on through, and they just grab a shopping cart and start loading it up with anything you might need for your standard invasion.
I want to go to a store where I can buy a rocket launcher.
For real. But in all fairness, it was hidden in the secret room.
It was in the secret room.
Which somehow he knew there would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been there before. But
I told you that would have been a better scene if he was walking in as the guy was closing it. It was like, you know why I'm here. And the guy goes, it's in the back. And it started from there. That would have been a way better scene.
Yeah.
He's like, how are you going to pay for that? He's like, put it on my tab.
And then you wouldn't have to have the Radon Chong scene where she rescues him from the police.
Right.
Well, it is a funny scene.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
It makes damn sense.
By the way, is this the same shop from Boondock Saints where they get their supplies?
Who the hell could know and care?
Yeah. Anyway.
It's your generic vigilante depot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Army Navy surplus store.
Yep. So again, this is where I have to give them credit for this as well, because in most, you know, action movies, they just have the guy smash in, he steals some guns, he gets away when he hears the sirens. But no, Arnold's taking his sweet time, he's loading up, getting everything he could possibly need, and suddenly, boom, there's cops all over the friggin' place, and they have him dead to rights and throw him in the back of their van. Somehow, however, Radon Chan gets away. But so she follows after and is kind of flirting with the cop for a little bit for some reason, and then just kind of stops her car, climbs up on the seat, and pulls out the rocket launcher, fires at the truck with Arnold in it.
Backwards first.
Fires backwards.
Funny moment.
Yeah, she is our comic relief, so she has to fire backwards.
Again, car crashes don't mean anything, because that truck was struck with a missile and flipped over.
Yes.
And Arnold is fine.
He was smoking when he came out.
He was a little smoky, he had a hole in his shirt. I believe he crawled out through a hole that the missile made.
I believe so.
But the cops?
Which means it clearly penetrated the truck.
The cops were fine, too, because they climbed out the windows.
And how did she learn how to do that?
She read the instructions.
That's exactly
what I said then, too.
Like, okay.
Yeah. And so apparently the police decide not to pursue this any further, and Arnold and Radon Chan make their way down to the pier.
You know, another funny thing too, they never handcuffed him or anything.
No, well they probably couldn't find any handcuffs that fit. it's like Luke trying to put the handcuffs on Chewbacca.
Yeah,
it's like I'm not doing that.
You do it.
Tactical Sasquatch says no. maybe we're wrong. Maybe it's not Tactical Sasquatch. Maybe it's just Wookiee.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
He's like 3 foot wider than a Wookiee, but
yeah. Yeah, I did put worst kill ever on guy on the pier. It is just super brutal, because this movie's pretty light on the actual blood and guts and stuff. But he just beats the shit out of this poor guy.
Especially because this looks like he's got the drop on him. This looks like he could just punch him in the face, throw him behind him, and leave him. Yeah.
Do the neck snap, maybe.
Maybe, if he wanted. Yeah, but
if he wants him dead.
Well, that's what I was expecting, was a neck snap.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, he repeatedly bashes this guy's face into the side of something
solid.
Looks solid and metal.
Solid.
Yeah.
A little bit less tactical, a little more Sasquatch on that one.
Yes. You gotta let the Wookiee out once in a while. So the two of them steal a plane.
Not a plane, it's a canoe with wings.
She can't work it because it's not digital. So she's having trouble getting this thing started.
She only trained on a Cessna.
Yeah. And like the whole time, this Jeep is slowly driving down this pier, just firing at them. Apparently not hitting anything of any value, despite the fact that they never stop firing.
Arnold's shooting back at them, doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's just the local NRA club, just going for a joyride.
Woo! But, he finally just smashes his, you know, giant Wookiee fists on the dashboard and gets this thing started.
Like he's a Fonz and it's a jukebox.
Yeah.
I think he just says works every time.
Yep.
Because he says, fly or die. When he hits it.
So they take off. They're headed off to get to this island. And pretty much just to get there, there's no major dilemma.
Well, no, because Paxton is there to tell them to turn around or they're going to blow you out of the sky.
Right.
They have to dodge a Bill Paxton cameo.
Yeah, yes. A horrible Bill Paxton attack, which they are able to defeat by...
Get down! Do it!
Yeah, how did they do that?
They just went lower.
They just do it.
Yeah. They just went low.
That was an unnecessary scene.
Yeah. Yep. Like, it was just Bill Paxton's here. But I don't even think Bill Paxton was anything at that point.
Nope.
No.
Again, I kind of... Because I know Arnold, I guess, was kind of big at this point. But it seems to just be like, hey, let's, you know, if you spout a few Terminator lines, we'll throw all your friends into this movie somewhere. So Bill Paxton's there, and Bill Duke, and...
It's funny, because it seems like a lot of stuff in this movie is just filler,
But, like, there's a lot of film. There's a lot of him shooting a machine gun that still hasn't even happened yet. They could have just did a little more of that.
They originally shot the movie and they realized, oh, we only have 20 minutes of footage.
Yeah.
We better throw some other stuff in here.
They were running out of money, so, like, we can't afford blanks or blood squibs anymore. Bill Paxton.
Yeah, we can afford a dark room with a single monitor in it.
Yeah.
Put a headset on this guy.
Bill, and buy Bill Paxton a sandwich of indeterminate meat.
He'll do it. Oh, man.
Wheatgrass?
I'm just picturing him in his trailer, like, what's in this? And Arnold's like, you don't want to know.
It's good for you.
Alright, so now for unknown reasons, when they land, Arnold gets down to a Speedo. So he in a boat ride.
Was he wearing that under his clothes, or did he strip down completely in front of this lady and put that Speedo on?
I hope he had it on under the clothes, but I don't think he did.
Like, because that's like, that was like, yeah.
And it's for no reason.
Yeah.
It's not like he jumps in the water. He just gets in a little dinghy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With his clothes.
He gets in the inflatable raft and then swims over with all his gear to the island.
Rows over.
Oh, he rows over.
Hence not necessitating a Speedo.
Yeah.
Even though he brought flippers from the from
again,
the store.
Makes no sense. And now all hell breaks loose.
I think this is when they find out that he is not on the plane.
Right.
Yep.
It's timed just right.
Mm-hmm.
So just as all hell starts breaking loose, they realize that he's not on the plane anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, and that was Chuck Mercury's moment to say, welcome home,
John,
and then be all creepy when he says it.
Yeah, this is what he set his watch for earlier, to figure out when the plane would get there and people would notice that the body's dead, which I'm surprised none of them noticed earlier, especially since they gave it a look almost like it'd been rotting for a while.
Yeah.
How long was this plane ride?
Realistically speaking, once they found out there was a passenger missing. They would have landed the plane anyway.
It's like, that dude has not come back from the bathroom.
I mean, it was no one in the bathroom. It was the 80s, though, so you never know.
Or if they took the cargo elevator down and just saw a wall was missing.
It's like, there's a Schwarzenegger-shaped hole in this wall.
Plus, you'd think someone would even just question why the cargo elevator was down.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it needs to come back up. But anyway. So, Arnold gets dry land. He gears up. He's strapped to the nines. He's got everything you could possibly need for your full-scale invasion.
He's putting stuff into all the things.
Yes, he is.
All the things.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, everything explodes.
Yeah,
well, three buildings explode a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a bunch of explosives. Starts attacking a couple dudes with knives and blows up some buildings. And then he head straight to the main compound and starts raiding that by just opening fire.
Yep.
Just a full-scale, straight-on head attack. And
yeah. I mean, when your adversary is not capable of shooting you, you really don't have to, take cover, aim, anything.
Like, his first...
Kill them at your leisure.
His first five kills were quiet.
Yeah.
And then he ran out of knives.
His knife ran out of ammo because he didn't fire it at somebody.
Yeah. He does take a hit, though.
Eventually, yeah. After like 5 minutes of killing people.
He has to make his way to the shed.
Yep.
And he killed like a good 100 people or so before he got hit once.
Yeah, he's...
By a grenade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's killed several score of people.
Yeah, do we have a total body count?
That would be hard. Like, you'd have to...
Someone do that, you bet us.
I'm pretty sure it's been done. Like, I'm pretty sure somebody's going through and, like, watch this.
Someone do that, you bet us.
It might actually be a triple-digit kill count. I mean,
have to be, yeah. Like, there's people... The whole, like, the last 15 minutes of the movie is just solid...
Yeah, other than the Bennett fight, it's just him shooting
just
people.
Just him killing people.
Yeah.
But before we skip over this, at this point he is in the garden shed trying to deal with his wounds. A bunch of guards surround it. They've got him dead to right. Yeah, just start opening fire into it. You would think no one could possibly survive this.
Unless they lay down over in the rafters.
Yeah.
Or you think they would play it safe and throw a grenade.
No, they just Bonnie and Clyde it up pretty good.
Yep.
So they feel everyone must be dead inside, so they send a dude to check. And what happens to this guy?
He gets killed. With a T. Killed.
Yeah, he... I believe he gets a pitchfork through the chest.
He does.
But not as bad as the other guy who gets scalped by a fucking circular saw blade. Yeah. Oh,
saw blades.
Tossing saw blades around, throwing pitchforks.
And nobody does, like, it goes equilibrium again, and, like, nobody does a damn thing. He just walks up to people with an axe.
Yeah, swings one axe, nails a dude in the crotch, grabs another guy's arm, who just happily stands there while he prepares himself to chop his arm off with his machete. This is where he gets a much bigger gun.
He was like, help, I can't move my fake arm.
he was probably like, this is not really happening right now. There's no way.
But now that he has the larger gun, he can go on a bigger rampage. And again, at this point, not even pretending to move, dodge, duck, anything. Just fires on anything that's moving and kills it all.
Like, if you thought it was absurd before, when he gets the M60, it's just 10 minutes of him shooting that gun and just people dying over and over. Yep. And, like, the ammo clip keeps looking like it's going to run out. And then you see again, like, the ammo belt's 3 feet long again. He fires, like, 1,000 rounds without
reloading. So many bullets.
Yeah.
So many bullets.
It was almost like out of Hot Shots, where he should have just been standing in the pile of bullets.
That's where Hot Shots got it from.
Yeah, I think Hot Shots part two is parodying this scene.
Straight up.
I mean, at this point, he literally could have just grabbed a handful of bullets and threw it into the crowd. They would have died.
So he finally breaks into the mansion. He takes out Scarface, whatever guy.
Dan Hedaya successfully shoots the soundtrack.
Yeah,
because it does go quiet for a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Stops for their epic fight,
which was really like a turn-based battle.
It really was.
Yeah,
both of them just trying to hide behind something and firing wildly. Until he finally gets the drop on him and shoots him, 100 times, knocks him back out the window.
Did he shoot him 100 times, or did it just show the scene 100 times?
I believe he shot him several times.
Well, it was a shotgun, so he had a lot of holes.
Yeah.
But I think Arnold just remembered that nobody can shoot him, so he just rolled out from behind cover, and that day was like, shit, I can't shoot him. Just got shot in the chest.
And just took him out Michael Myers style, just, shot and knocked out the back of the window and down a flight to his doom.
And the spider senses started again.
Yeah, so Alyssa Milano broke out of her little prison, and she's
with
now...
doorknob.
Yeah, she's now she's being crafty. Chased by Freddie Mercury.
Who broke out with just... just by falling out a window. He just did just straight up heave his chubbiness through that window.
He sure did.
Really throwing his weight around.
Yeah.
But so he chases her down to a giant boiler room somewhere. They start going after each other. Well, he starts chasing her, rather. John's now trying to get down there. He's trying to find out where they are. They finally catch up to one another, and they...
Bennett switches gears into crazy mode.
Super crazy mode.
He is getting off on this.
I suppose it's like a thermal. Is the compound run on thermal power? Is that what's going on? Like geothermal?
Giant factory boilers.
Boiler room, like, huge.
Well, before they get there, though, they're in like that like hoarder basement full of like art and furniture and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Then they go down a level. Then they go down another level.
But that's when he's actually successfully able to shoot Arnold.
He clips them.
Yeah. That other room looked like the basement from Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, that it did.
But, so he shoots Arnold. Arnold's kind of down, but he starts, he coaxes him out. He's like, hey, you don't need the gun. Let's fight like men. To which Freddie Mercury, I think, literally gets off.
Well, he does.
I don't need no gun. Pants. I don't need no girl. I'll kill you!
Yeah.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Like, his face, like, it does look like he just orgasms right there. He is so excited about what's going on.
Oh, yeah, the face is in there. There's no doubt he's definitely...
Chubby Mercury's leather pants shrunk 3 sizes that day.
Yeah, and that's one of the subtle themes of the next, 5-minute fist fight, is just, it's a silly face-making contest.
It really is.
Yeah, they're going at it. I don't have the words. Anyone else?
You're getting old, John. You're getting old.
Imagine an awkward scene where two guys are just kind of like shoving their hands in each other's faces, and who can make the weirder face as a result?
I mean, the actors had to have just been like, I can make a sillier face than you.
Yeah.
Arnold's like, no.
I almost wonder if Arnold's not just like, you know, this is the face I make when I try and fight a dude, and the other guy's just like, well, that looks silly. I can top that.
Yeah, the part where they're, I think, trying to shove the other person's head into the boiler, which isn't going to do well for their hands, but
no.
I don't know. I'm not sure what they're trying to do, but they're just having, like, the most intense silly face slash staring contest ever. I think Arnold just finally gives up and headbutts him.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you want to see Chubby Mercury's face, just watch the Space Madness episode of Ren and Stimpy. That's pretty much it.
That is it.
That's the best way to explain his character in general, is he has space madness.
He's got beaver fever.
And they're just freaking making up the rules as they go. Because, like, he just throws him into a fuse box, electrocutes the shit out of him. That chainmail tank top suddenly turns into a serious liability.
Suddenly?
Suddenly, well, yeah. Fair enough. But... you think that would do him in, but no, now he's freaking, like, super powered. It just beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, he's,
like, charged him up.
Yeah, like, his like, special move bar is full. He's a dead man, John!
No, but Arnold, he was holding down the black button, like, the high black button for a while, and then when he was done, he's like, alright, put my combination in.
He sure he does! He
did his own 20 punch move.
Well, yeah, that's it. He's like, you're a dead man, John! He's like, bullshit. Fucking 20 hit combo. With one arm. Just one arm. The shit out of him.
First level Super Saiyan.
I believe he, you know, finally was like, I can't do it this way, and pulls out a gun.
I'm not gonna shoot you between the eyes, John. I'm gonna shoot you between the balls.
you love this movie too much.
I do. He sucks so much, but I love him. I love that guy.
Yes.
I don't know. The only part of the movie that kind of took me away a little bit, like a movie from the movie, is this end part. Because dude's holding a submachine gun pointed at Arnold. And Arnold can rip a pipe off a wall, put it on his shoulder, line it up, and throw it through the guy's chest before the guy can finish saying balls. Like...
It wasn't Bennett's turn.
That's the only thing. I'm like, why didn't he shoot him? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, why didn't he shoot him?
Because Arnold was a lot faster at putting in the combo move. All this guy's wasting his time hitting the taunt button. That's the problem.
That must have been it. He hit taunt by accident.
Yeah. He's stuck in the animation sequence. I mean, even after he gets impaled, like, he's still holding the gun.
God,
you know, think he could do something.
Yes.
And boy, do we get a one-liner.
Yeah, this is a very famous scene now where Arnold throws the pipe, goes through him, goes through his chainmail vest, goes into this tank or whatever it was.
Through the chainmail vest again on the way out.
Yes. Starts spewing steam through it, to which Arnold responds with...
Time to let off some steam, Bennett.
I think his sassy comeback was...
And then he just sees Alyssa Milano smiling back at him. I guess totally blanked on all the horrors she must have just witnessed.
She just also witnessed the goofiest thing anyone's ever seen. Probably lightened her mood a bit.
But so they go back outside. Suddenly the general's shown up. And he's just, you know, making some little light banter about, hey, did you leave anything for us? And...
only bodies.
Yeah. He's like, oh, John, do you want to join the force again and help me out some more? It's like, no, never again. General says, till the next time. And that's it. They get on the plane.
Ray Dong Chong shows up. Mm-hmm. And like, for some reason, she's still there.
Yeah. Well, that's because she saw him in a Speedo. That's what
maybe,
that is.
Maybe they fucked on the plane before he got out the boat.
At this point, she's criminally liable for some sure shit. So she's like, maybe this guy's got something that's gonna get me out of it.
That's a good point.
Fire a rock launcher at some cops.
That PTSD is probably on the stairs. Pretty deep too.
A good point on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. But does just kind of greet the two of them like, hey, I'm your new mommy.
She does. Yeah.
We're all going home together.
Yeah.
And that's Commando. This Frank Stallone-esque
song. Only song that has words.
Yeah. Like, just out of nowhere.
Okay, that was Commando. So, final thoughts.
Ryan. Movie is still awesome. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just an awesome movie. It's a shitty movie, but it's an amazing shitty movie. Like, it does what it needs to do and entertains you and keeps you hyped up throughout the most of the movie, and like it's you kind of forget about some stuff while you're watching it and just kind of watch Arnold just be Arnold.
Now your final review, I'm guessing that's a pass.
Yeah.
Recommend it. Rob.
That's a total recommend. This movie's awesome. There's literally never a dull moment in this movie, with the exception of maybe the factory scene, but even that's like, there's still the crazy music that's like just nonstop.
Why is this here?
Why is this here? And then it just immediately goes back to killing. Oh yeah, it's awesome.
Yes, same for me. Total recommend. I kind of brought this up before, but this is the action movie that you want. This is everything an action movie should be. It is very much like a precursor to Taken. It's a very basic premise. X lost Y, so they're going after them and killing everything in their path in the meantime. Again, very dumb with like bad one-liners, and you know, there's not much in the way of the storyline or anything or character building, but who needs it? You're here to see Arnold kill some things, and man, does he kill some things. So yeah, it total recommend. I love this movie. It's great. And back to our...
I wouldn't recommend this to anybody. I hate this movie. No, I'm on my phone right now trying to buy a chainmail vest. I fucking love this movie.
Halloween next year.
Like, Halloween next year, I'll be Bennett.
Group costume.
Write that down. We should do that. Holy crap, that's a great idea.
That is awesome.
We should do that.
Yeah. We'll all be Bennett.
We'll be Bennett.
Even Brian.
No, con season. You want to do Kinnicon or one of those?
Kinnicon.
Yeah.
You be John Matrix, I'll be Bennett. Let's do it. I'll shave for that.
Yeah.
I'd rather be that dude with the he's killed in the plane.
Just the guy in the Olympic suit.
One suit and a Hawaiian shirt on and the bad hair.
John Matrix? Bennett? Do you want to be Bennett?
I'll be Sully. I'll say, you fucking whore.
I'll be Bill Duke.
No. All right, but in all seriousness,
I'll ghost you.
Like, just watch the movie. Just don't ask any questions. The only question you should ask is, how much stupider can they make this? And then, you know, just continue to be, you know, not disappointed by the answer. Because this movie's great. It's just great.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
I have to say, while doing some research on this, I went to Amazon and saw that multiple copies of this only had a few copies left in stock. And I checked back on it. It frequently went out of stock and was back again. So I don't think there's anyone we're really introducing to this. But good on you guys. You should own a copy of this. It is an amazing movie.
I mean, and even like just it's a perfect like encapsulation of an era of cinema. Like, it's the quintessential Arnold movie when Arnold was, like, the shit in action cinema.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to just average out all of his movies together, you would get this. And I think it's important that everybody sees it. Like, for real.
He's being super serial right now.
We should actually... I'm going to start a petition to actually have this constantly running in the Smithsonian.
So just as a side note, I did feel I should mention the tagline for this movie was, if there's a mission no man could survive, there's then he's the man for the job, which I think is very fitting considering there's no way he should have survived any of this.
Well, he can't get shot.
Yet.
We should put this movie on a constant loop and send it into space so the aliens know not to fuck with us.
So that was Commando from 1985.
All right, so for those of you who don't know, we at the end of the episode, we roll a giant D20. We have a master list of 20 movies that we're going to watch, and this die decides which one we're going to watch next. So last week, we had a natural 20, which has Commando. So let's see what, have we replaced Commando on the list?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what's up. 11.
Mortal Kombat.
Okay, all right.
Talk about the theme songs and music will continue.
Yikes. Thank you guys for listening. That was our podcast. And if you want to reach us, any and all questions can be sent to the4ampodcast@gmail.com. That's the4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes. Please subscribe and rate. All kinds of good stuff. And don't, please don't fart on me, because I can smell it through the internet.
Let off some steam, Robert.
I'm dead. Somebody else has to say goodbye.
Alright, well, thank you for joining us once again on the 4AM Podcast. Hope to see you next time with Mortal Kombat. See you later, buddy.
Adios. Deuces.
Why am I still holding this bottle to myself? 11 interest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we have to pause the podcast.
Temporary technical difficulties.
I believe Brian just shot himself. Pardon our pixie dust.
That was touching.
Had to be on the mic, right?
I don't know.
It must.
I waited for a pause.
You were holding on to that?
Yeah, I was. That's not my fault.
Hopefully Brian brought a change of underwear.
It's not my fault. Okay. There's a reefer beans I had earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Triple fried now.